Hi there, this is Scooter. Thanks for joining me at Fish Toast. So today we're going to talk about something that's a little bit different. This isn't going to be any skills or techniques necessarily involved in fishing, but sort of a bit of a mindset to kind of maintain. So with that, the question is, who's down with OPP? Yeah, you know me. Okay, well, sorry. So it's not that kind of OPP. This is observation, perception, and perspective. So this is kind of a skill set, or I'm not even sure what we quite want to call it, but this is something that doesn't necessarily always revolve around fishing, though we're going to basically orient it around fishing. But this is something I try and use in a lot of different aspects of my life, and hopefully it'll help you with fishing and maybe some other stuff too. So OPP is observation, perception, and perspective. And basically it has to deal with, being aware of what's around you, what's going on, and using these things and learning in order to increase your productivity while fishing. Again, this is things that I try and kind of live a lot of my life by, and it's seemed to have worked pretty well for me. But it's certainly room for improvement, I'm sure. But so let's start talking about observation. So when you're fishing, it's very important to be observant to what's going on around you and what's going on with what you're doing. So to give a few examples, you're out at the water, you've got a line in, and you're fishing sinkers, and you got them on the bottom, and it's a nice peaceful day, or early morning, or I'm going to use early morning or evening, getting close to dark, so you got something on the bottom, you're not getting many bites, and you notice that you can see fish breaking the water. So fish are coming up to the top and they're scooping bugs off the top of the water or other stuff. Or you're seeing, some swirls in the water that are moving around real shallow. Now you can sit there and say to yourself, well, the fish are out there. Like there's fish nearby, so I'm fishing in a good spot. But you're not necessarily fishing where the fish are if you're on the bottom and they're all up at the top. And if they're actively feeding, this can be a very productive time. So we're observing what's going on, and we want to make adjustments to basically be where the fish are, or fish with what the fish are going after, etc. So you might switch to a bobber and keep it kind of shallow, so just slightly above your snap swivel, so that you're fishing real shallow, and while the fish are kind of cruising around there looking for stuff to eat, they find your bait, you catch more fish. So this is a real basic version of observation, but it's very important. But there are so many things in observation that factor in. How is the water clarity? Okay. What's the weather like outside? What really is going on? If you see that fish are moving in areas that are more shaded as opposed to the areas that are sunny, you want to kind of fish in those shaded areas. So there's a lot of things you want to observe and pay attention to. The perception part of it is, it works in tandem with observation, but it's, to me anyways, I realize perception is more or less the same thing as observation, but to me, and in this scenario, it's making adjustments or at least learning. So not only are you seeing what's going on, you're learning from what's going on, and then kind of cataloging that in your mind, if you will, so that you can make these adjustments as you move forward. So if you see that you're catching more fish where there's structure, or when it's a warmer day and you're fishing in the shade, where there's shade cast onto the water by a tree, and then keeping track of that, understanding that, I'm fishing in this way, on this type of weather, I'm using this type of bait or lure, and then sort of cataloging that. When I was younger, I used to always keep kind of a journal, that, you know, hey, I'm fishing, it's June 5th or whatever the date is, it's, you know, noon, 80 degrees out, and I'm not doing very well, or I'm catching fish, or I switched up to this type of bait, you know, I fished a normal lure that I use all the time, but when I slowed it way down, I got better bites. You know, I was getting more fish when I changed to try and work it from a different angle or tried something different. And the trying something different part is sort of part of the perspective part. But we'll kind of move into that. So with observation, and where, you know, some of the times when I've caught this has been, a little quick story. So, years ago, I was out fishing on a boat at a local lake, and it was August. It was hot. The water clarity was pretty good for the lake I was in. It was never clear there, but it was pretty good. Probably, 4 or 5, maybe 6 feet of visibility underwater. And, you know, so usually something that was a little bit brighter worked well. And being that it was hot, it was August, the water temperature had been heating up all summer, so the water was pretty warm. You know, in a scenario like this, I'm usually fishing something that's a yellow or so forth. You know, sometimes a darker color, like a black, that would sort of stand out a little bit against the stained, kind of slightly stained water. And I was usually fishing, you know, a jig head or something with some weight to it to go down to where the water was a little bit cooler. Now, we kind of came along a shoreline, and I wasn't having a good day. There was three of us fishing, and I had caught a few fish, but not many. So I'm kind of digging through my tackle box, and I came across a pack of flukes, which are sort of like rubber fish, for lack of a better term. They don't sink real fast, and I used to love fishing them because I just like the action of them. They're a lot of fun to fish, and you can kind of watch them. Because when you fish them, they sink real slow, but when you're fishing them, even with a slower retrieve, and you just kind of twitch them, you give them like two quick flicks, and then you let your line, you don't want to reel in real fast, and they sort of dart side to side, and then they just kind of flutter and drift down a little bit, so it sort of looks like a fish that's dying underwater. And I had some white ones that I had used in some other locations and stuff that had done well, but I had never done particularly well with anything white when I was younger in this particular lake. But I saw them and I thought, you know what, they're white, so maybe they'll stand out enough in the stained water. But I really didn't actually have a lot of confidence in it, but I thought, you know what, I just want to try a few casts with them, because I don't know. It was sort of, you know, something I hadn't used in a while, and I just enjoy fishing them a lot. So I tied one about a 5-inch, which is a super fluke, in a white, tossed it out, and in about 5 or 6 casts, I caught 3 bass, and all of them were of really nice size. They were 15, 16 inch or so. And so I fished the rest of the day with them and had a pretty good day, actually. It wasn't quite as good as those first few casts. But I was fishing in the shade. You know, we were kind of cruising along some shorelines with some trees overhanging, and they did real well there. And, you know, if we switched to some drop-offs or something like that where there wasn't shade, I did switch up to lure. However, you know, it worked well. I was very pleased with it. And, you know, so I kind of made a mental note of that. Now, 2 weeks later, I went back to the same place. I was fishing the same spots. The day was pretty similar. The difference was that it wasn't sunny. It was kind of cloudy that day. And the water clarity, it was actually, you know, a little bit clearer at the time, because it was August and we typically don't get a lot of rain through August. And so the water clarity was better, and it was slightly cloudy out. I fished the same thing, and I caught one, but I might not have caught any on that one. It didn't do as well. So now I had to really factor in what was the difference. Now, a lot of the reports I've read tell you that water clarity is the number one thing you want to be looking at when you fish. If it's clear, you know, fish are going to hunt more by sight as opposed to any other thing, which is what they prefer to do. And when it starts getting cloudy and murky, they start using their lateral lines, which are sort of sensors along the side of the fish, that pick up vibrations or disturbances in the water. And so a fluke, while it does twitch and do some stuff, it's basically just a piece of rubber. So it doesn't have really any kind of sound to it, or it doesn't throw off any kind of real vibrations and so forth. Now, looking back, I probably should have tried throwing a rattle in the fish or something like that. But again, the water was clear, and you know, fish are going to hunt more by sight than sound in this type of thing. So it probably wouldn't have made much of a difference, but it's probably something I should have tried. So these are things that I'm looking at. These are observations. So I'm trying to balance, what did I do before versus what am I doing now, and what are the differences that the environment has created, and so forth. So there's no great way to sit down and tell you to, you know, if you're fishing in this particular body of water, because most of you are going to be fishing in waters I've never fished. So there's different fish in there. They're used to different types of feed. They're used to different water temperatures and flows. And there's so many variables that it's almost impossible to sit down and describe them all or to walk you through what's going to work best for what you're doing. Now, if you're bait fishing, typically you're going to do pretty well. The worst part about bait fishing is, you don't have a lot of selection. In other words, you're not going to really... you're going to put bait in the water, and for the most part, you're going to catch what fish are around your bait. You're not going to fish for bass or target bass when you're bait fishing. Now you can use, small fish or minnows, to fish. If you use a particular size, that's going to help you target in on larger fish or smaller fish and so on, or more predatory fish, and so forth. But I don't want to go too far down that direction. Mainly what I wanted to focus in on, though, was getting back here to this observation. So, every time you go out fishing, try new things. Bait fishing is can be great and productive. It's a good way to learn about fish and catch a lot of fish. The issue sort of is going to be that you don't have a lot of control over what kind of fish you're catching. And especially if you're new, this typically isn't a big deal. If you're going to go out for trout because you want to catch trout and eat trout, then you need to learn ways to focus in on trout. And I will dedicate some time to that in other episodes on targeting particular fish and what types of things they're looking for. But again, a lot of it comes down to trial and error, because what works for me in a particular body of water may not work for you in the water you're fishing. That's where, talking to some other people, doing a little research online about what you're fishing for, what people are using for baits when they're catching trout or bass or panfish or whatever it is you might be going after. There's a lot of fish that I don't know. They're not in the waters I fish. There are fish in the waters that I go, and I've just never been real productive with those types, mainly because I haven't focused on those. I'm sure if I spent some time and sort of learned about what people are using or what those particular fish are looking for, I could learn. But again, the learning part of it is all about, observation and perception. Like what do they want? What are the environmental things going on? So, I'll try and hit on this a little bit more, but I want to kind of keep going through the different sort of stages of this. So, the environmental part of it is, paying attention to you know, water clarity, water temperature, air pressure can have a big factor on fishing. Some people swear it's true. Some people swear it has no effect on them. For me, I've always learned that the changing air pressure is more critical than whether it's high pressure or low pressure. Quick drops in air pressure seem to be the most productive, but really any time that the pressure is changing, whether it's going up or down, seems to be a trigger to me anyways, that fish seem to get a little bit more active and feed a little more aggressively. When the pressure is low, the fishing usually stays pretty good. However, when the air pressure is high and it's stagnant, it's not moving, seems to be the worst time to fish. And when I say that, I'm talking incremental. We're not talking like, for me anyways, we're not talking that if the pressure is high and stable, I'm not catching a thing. And if it's dropping, I'm catching a pile of them. You'll get good days and bad days no matter what the pressure is. But there seems to be something there anyways. So again, if it's, you know, if there's a storm moving in and, you know, air pressure's dropping rapidly, that's usually whenever I've hit fish in crazy amounts. Any of the best days I've had have been like that. But again, even if it's after a storm has passed through and the air pressure is going back up or something, have been really productive times too. But again, it's during times when that air pressure is moving. One way or the other, it doesn't seem to affect it too much. So keep an eye on these kinds of things. When you're out fishing and you're having a good day, what are factors that contribute to that? So that sort of covers the observation and somewhat the perception, though. The perception part of it, again, is learning what is causing the different things. So I realize the actual definitions of the words are probably slightly different, but I'm going to use them in the two different ways. To me, observation is looking and seeing what's going on. It's keeping your eyes open and your senses kind of open as to what's going on. And the perception part of it is sort of translating that into usable information. Okay, it's sunny. Now, what does that actually mean? Like, what plan of action should I decide on based on the fact that it is sunny? It's easy enough to see that it's sunny, but what is that going to do? The fish are going to move deeper, maybe, if it's warmer weather, or they're going to move, move into areas that have tree cover, so they're in some shade. Maybe it's really early spring and the water's cold, and now that it's sunny, they're going to move into those spots where the water is actually warming up a little bit better. Especially if it is in the springtime and they've kind of been lazy all winter, if you will. They slow down pretty good in the cold weather. And so now they want to actively feed. And when it's sunny, the smaller fish are moving out where it's warmer. And so they're moving into the sunny spots because they can see the fish there very easily. And that's where the smaller fish are. And they want to go and start scooping up some food. We will try and hit on some different things to look for, but this is more about, less about technique and more about kind of a mindset to be in when you go out fishing. And again, the perception part of that is, you know, sort of learning from those observations and then being able to apply it again and again each time you go out fishing. Now, the perspective part is a little bit different. Before we jump into perspective, let's talk about your tackle and what you're using in observation. So when you're fishing and, you know, you feel a fish biting and you're fighting a fish because you've hooked it, this is a very important time to keep that observation open. In other words, when you feel a fish bite, how are you feeling that fish bite? You've got a line out, you've got sinkers on there, you've got your line snugged up a little bit so you can feel when something's tick, 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 pulling on the end there, just biting it real lightly. This is an observation. This is something you want to be paying attention to so that you can better, as each time goes by, you're learning more and more about what is actually happening under the water based on feel. So it's not sight, but it's still an observation that you're making with your senses. So, you know, when the drag is pulled, you know, you catch a fish and it pulls the drag out and you reel that fish in, you know, you fight it for a little bit, it comes in. How big is that fish? What was your drag set to? You know, could the drag have been higher without causing any kind of problem? You know, so there's so many things to learn and do on this. And again, these are things we'll want to touch upon in future episodes that I want to sort of, after I get kind of a broad spectrum of information out there that you're at least fishing and, you know, you're paying attention to what's going on, then we're going to kind of crack into the finer details of some of this stuff. So again, I just want you to get out there. When you're out there, really pay attention to what you're doing, what's going on, and why these things are happening and so forth. Now, so there's two parts to the observation. One is the environment. One is the actual tackle, what's going on, and sort of the interaction between you and the fish, or just even as you drag a line across the bottom. You know, you've cast out your sinker and you're bringing it back in. Now, if you're reeling in slow, that sinker's going to kind of drag along the bottom. Well, what does it feel like? You know, if you're in an area and you can see that it's a rocky bottom, pay attention to what that feels like when you're dragging the sinker in. You know, you might feel it just slide smoothly, and then you feel bumps as it's bumping off of rocks. Or you might be reeling it in, and it feels like it's heavier than it should be because you're dragging through a mud or a sand bottom. You're not hanging up on anything. So now you know it's a real soft bottom and probably relatively flat. Not a lot of dips and falls. But, you know, if you're reeling in and it feels like it's a little heavy and then all of a sudden it stops and, you know, so you stop reeling and you kind of notice your line is snugging back up, you know, you might have hit a dip or a hole under the water. So, you know, if you're reeling in and you're coming through weeds, you're going to pay attention to what that feels like. You're going to feel something that feels almost solid, and then it has give to it as that sinker or even your hook grabs hold of the side of a weed, and you get that resistance there. So there's a lot of things that you can really pay attention to that sort of lets you learn. I mean, then you can almost work, you know, the end of the your bait or your lure as a depth finder to some extent. You're not going to know the exact depths and stuff, but you're going to be able to sort of feel what's going on underneath the water. You know, if you take a vibrating lure, like a rattle bait or something like that, even a spinning bait, like a big spinner, and you throw it out and you retrieve it quickly, you'll feel that thing is twitching. You'll feel the blade spinning. You'll feel a vibrating lure does what it sounds like. It's designed to wobble really fast when it comes through the water, and there's little beads inside of it that make a rattle sound. You'll actually feel that pulsing or vibrating in the water as you're reeling in. So if you slow it way down, you might not be reeling fast enough that it's vibrating. And so those are usually targeted that you bring them into the speed. You got to reel them in fast enough that you can feel that vibration. And if you're not feeling it, the lure's not doing what you want it to do or what it's designed to do. So these are all observations and perceptions that, you know, you kind of have to learn as you get out there. And these types of things we're going to go over more in depth when we talk about particular types of lures. But again, it's paying close attention, not just going out there and saying, hey, Scooter said, you know, put my bobber here, toss it out this far, fish near this. When you see the bobber go underwater, lift the rod 2 feet and begin to reel. You know, you're getting the technique of it down, but you're not paying enough attention to what's actually happening and what's going on. And the more you learn to just focus on each individual thing, and don't try to go out in one shot and like, okay, I'm going to pay attention 100% to every aspect of fishing, because you're going to kind of overwhelm your senses a little bit. Pay attention to just a few different things each time. You know, especially if you're bait fishing, you're going to have downtime. You're going to have time when you throw it out, nothing's going on. Look around you. What's going on? Look for other people fishing along the shore. What are they doing? You know, so there's so much you can learn just by being observant. Now, I think that should cover that part pretty well, but the perspective part is sort of a little different. It's kind of, it's a whole different thing to use. So the perspective is going to be looking at different options. So in other words, if you can change your perspective when you're out, in other words, you know, if you look at it like this, okay, so I'm out fishing, I'm doing my normal thing, and I'm just not catching anything, okay? And I've tried this, I've done this, I've always fished this way, these are different lures I try in these types of waters. Okay, let's rewind a little bit and look at it from a different perspective. Let's look at it from the fish's perspective. Now, we can't really think like fish. We don't know exactly what they think like, but we can look in the water, again, using some observations, and see, okay, I see little green fish swimming around. They look like shad. I notice that every once in a while I'm watching a bass come into my line of sight and it looks like it's darting through real quick. It might be going after these green fish. Try something green that looks sort of like those fish. It's a hot, sunny day out. If I was outside and it's a hot, sunny day, I might look for shade. I might also be lazy. You know, I don't want to exert a lot of effort. You know, so what can I do to look at it from that perspective? You know, it's hot, it's slow. I'm moving. You know, I'm not moving fast. So would the fish possibly not be moving fast? Or are the fish going to go down to the basement because it's cooler down there? Sure, they might go down to the deeper water, but they still might be sluggish. So I'm going to throw something in that's going to go deeper. I'm going to look for a spot where I've got a good drop-off where I can get something down 20 feet deep. And then I might fish it slow because, you know, if I zip right past something, it might just be like, hey, I'm too tired. I'm not going after that, you know. So you want to sort of look at it different ways. And you may want to try, you know, things that you think won't work or don't normally work. What's it going to hurt? If you're not catching fish anyways, or you're not catching many fish, why not try something different? You know, when over the years I've spent a lot of time, like if I go somewhere and I see, you know, some kids fishing and you know with their parents or whatever, you'll notice that they'll watch you, especially if you catch fish. You notice that these kids might watch you, and so it's nothing to just walk over and say, hey, what do you know, kind of look at the parents or say hello to the parents first. You just don't want to awkwardly walk up to somebody else's kid. But you could certainly do this with adults, like, hey, what are you fishing? I've been using this, and give them one. You know, if it's a rubber lure or something like that, you know, you may not want to give a kid a $12 lure or something like that that may end up in a tree or something. But, you know, and kind of say, hey, how's the fishing going? You know, oh, well, I've been using this. Here, you know, let's try this. Or, you know what, I'm fishing a little bit deeper. Why don't we move your bobber up on the line a little bit so you're down a little bit deeper? Or let's put some split shot on there and take that bobber off, you know, and explain a little bit of what's going on and why you're fishing that way. And, you know, give them the tools to kind of understand what you're doing, and that in the future they can make these changes. And you'll learn that when people can make the adjustments and you're helping them to learn what adjustments to make and why, they enjoy it more. They're very thankful for helping them. And, you know, now some people, yeah, they don't, you know, they know everything and they don't want any help from anybody else. That's okay. You just kind of chalk it up to, you know, you can help somebody else later or whatever it may be. But for the most part, if you're out fishing and you happen to be catching fish and you see people that aren't, they're usually not going to turn away any advice. But the reverse is also true. I've been fishing a long time. I've fished a lot. And But I've learned stuff from people that have been hardly fishing. I'll take somebody with me that hasn't fished a lot, and I'll say, hey, let's try this lure out and, you know, toss it over there and fish it like this. And then I look back over, and they're fishing it not in a way that I would have fished it, or not the way I said, hey, try it this way. They're fishing it completely different, and they're catching fish. And so I watch and see, what are they doing? Maybe it is what I told them to do, but they're slowing it way down, or maybe just their technique is way different. But if I watch, I'm observant, and I pay attention, I'm going to learn something. And they don't even need to necessarily know what they're doing or why they're catching something different. So, you want to keep the perspective. You want to keep the idea that they're looking at things from a different way than you are. The fish are looking for things in a different way than what, you know, we can really understand. But we've got some kind of idea of what's going on. So don't be afraid to switch up your perspective. You could be out fishing for a few hours and, you know, look at it from a different perspective. Change up what you're doing, and it can change your whole day. And turn what would have been, you know, I don't consider any day out fishing wasted. Even if I don't catch a fish, it's great to be out. So it's kind of keeping that in perspective. The other part of perspective is, it's also kind of two-sided, is the you know, you're out and, you know, you're on the water, on the bank. And usually when you're near a lake or a pond, it's beautiful scenery. There are birds flying around. It's beautiful out. So you don't have to stay focused on, you know, I'm here to fish. You know, there's so much more going on that's enjoyable. And there's so many good health benefits and so forth, mental benefits of just spending time in the woods, or, you know, by the water. You know, people flock to the oceans because the water has a soothing and calming effect on people. And so there's just something about it. And even just a little stream will give you that effect. So, you know, pay attention to what's going on around you and keep the perspective of, you know, that you're out here, you're enjoying yourself, you know, oh, hopefully you're enjoying yourself. You know, if you're snagging up all the time and you're getting frustrated, that's tough. But again, even in that scenario, try and change your perspective. You know, you're not working, you're not, running errands all over the place and grocery shopping. You're out doing something that's meant to be, you know, relaxing to a certain extent, unless you get really, unless you're getting really competitive with it. But I tend to not do too much competitive when it comes to fishing anymore. I used to do some tournaments and stuff, but it's for me, it's the enjoyment of it. It's the whole package. It's being out. It's just, you know, spending time with friends and family, or even if I go out by myself, it's the solitude and being kind of, you know, one with the wilderness, if you will, and just enjoying it. So I can go out and have a fantastic day fishing and not even have caught a fish. Keep it in perspective, is the best thing I can tell you. And you'll learn to really love fishing no matter how productive you are. And then when you are productive, you just like it that much more. So, I'm going to kind of let it at this then. And, sorry, this is one that's sort of, it's on topic, but it's kind of off topic. It's the OPP, it's observation, perception, and perspective. And if you just kind of, when you get out there and you start to get the hang of it, pay attention to what's going on, make adjustments accordingly, and just really kind of get into what you're doing, what's going on, and you'll be amazed at how quickly you'll learn. And you'll learn soon enough that this is something I've learned. Not a lot of people do this. And, you know, they'll fish the same baits all the time. You know, somebody will go to a lake and, you know, they were lucky enough or in the right spot at the right time, and they landed a monster fish, a big old bass, or even a muskie or something like that, when there's just not many of them in this particular water. And, you know, it's a cherished photo they've got, and you know, all of a sudden now this was, and it was a little bit of a fluke, not the lure, but an actual fluke, that they happened to catch this big fish. So there was some luck involved, but again, you know, luck in fishing kind of go hand in hand, but the more prepared you are and the better you understand things, you'll find the luckier you get. But you could see, you know, a young kid goes out for the first time and he's got a bobber and a hook on there and he's going for bluegill, and a 20-inch bass snags that line and they catch it, they bring it in, and it's amazing. Now, this kid will probably go his whole life and fish with a worm and a bobber in the same spot and say, like, yep, this is how you catch the big ones. Yeah, because that's what they did once, or maybe even twice if they're real lucky. And it's, while it has worked, it's just not necessarily the best thing to do. So this is sort of in line with the perspective of, you know, now if you go out and you're using a spinner and it's green in this lake, and you know, you've caught quite a few large bass with this, so now you do have a pattern to be successful, and it's not just sort of luck that got you there. You know, but a lot of people don't pay attention to those things. They just figure, if I've done it once, I can do it again. And you know, regardless of what the results are after years and years of doing the same thing, because they're not paying attention, they're not being observant to really what's happening, which is they got lucky once or twice, and then, you know, they go out constantly after that and it just doesn't happen again. And there's nothing wrong with fishing that way. They're still going to have some days and they'll catch fish that are great and so forth. And if that's how you want to fish, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like you miss a whole side of fishing that is, you know, paying attention to those things and learning from them. And you become more skilled. And you know, a better fisher person, and you can help others, and you can make adjustments when you need to. I often look at it as, okay, so here's a quick story about me. So I've bowled off and on over the years, and I've had some really good games, and you know, I would average pretty high a lot of times whenever I would actually get in and practice. But I had a pretty good technique down, and I could average around 200 or so, which is pretty good. Not a lot of people do that. And so I felt good about that. Now, I have never had a 300 game, though, and I know a lot of people that would average 20 or 30 pins less than me that have hit 300 games. And so while that's a bit of a sting, it's okay. Like, I don't worry about that. I feel I consistently do better. And, you know, some people are like, oh, you know, you need to tournament, you know, go on some tournaments and stuff like that. And I can't. Why? Because I don't practice enough, and I don't have enough of an understanding. Like, so for anybody that knows bowling, when you go out, they change the oil patterns on the lane. And when you bowl a hook, like I do, those oil patterns affect how the ball rolls. And as you're bowling for a while that evening, you know, you get a couple games, the oil breaks down, it changes, it moves around a little bit, and you need to make adjustments in order to continue it. Well, while I understand all this, I don't really have a great grasp on it. In other words, I can't make adjustments when I go to a new bowling alley or they change the oil pattern. I'm not good enough to make the adjustments on the fly to be consistently good. If I go to another bowling alley than my home bowling alley, I'm lucky if I average 140 or 150. You know, so that is what separates, in the fishing world, that's what separates guys like me from pros. You know, they have a good enough understanding to get out there and really, you know, say, okay, this isn't working, but why? You know, so I have a good skill set. I have a good bit of knowledge on fishing, but I don't hold a candle to the guys that are pros that really dedicate a lot of time. For me, it's more of an enjoyment hobby, you know, and you know, I like to think that I learn and I know a good bit as I fish, and I just want to kind of share that knowledge. But some of you out there are going to listen to this and say, hey, you know, when you are hitting trouble like this, this is what you try. That's great. That's the resources I'm kind of looking for with this podcast. I want people to contribute back and say, hey, you know what? I was out and it was a clear day and this is what the settings were and this is what I was fishing and I wasn't doing good, but it seemed like they were following my bait, but they just weren't hitting. So I did this and all of a sudden they started hitting. That's the kind of information I would love to pull together so that people that are like me, that are, you know, hobbyists, you know, I'm not looking to get into tournament fishing or anything like that. I just want to go out and I want to learn enough so that when I get out there, I can kind of play around with it and figure out like, okay, what might work and try it or try new things and become more productive with it. But at the same time, I also just want to enjoy the fact that I'm out fishing, relaxing to an extent. Sometimes I'll be on a boat or something and I do fish a little bit more aggressively, like where I'm really trying to target in on a particular type of fish and I want to, you know, I want to catch some big fish today. And so like I'm going to kind of hone in on that. I don't worry if I'm not catching fish because I'm not going after all the little fish. Sure, I can catch those guys easy enough, but I want some larger bass. So I might go out with the family and, you know, they're catching fish left and right on, you know, worms and bobbers or smaller, you know, smaller lures. And I'm fishing a bigger lure because I'm going after a big old bass or something. And I may not catch a fish, or maybe I catch one fish and it's a lot bigger. You know, more often than not, I'm not catching much. I might get a few bumps or catch a few smaller fish that were kind of trying to punch above their weight. But you know, it doesn't matter. It's perspective. It's all about in what I'm looking to accomplish. And you know, fishing for me is not a competition. I'm not worried about what the other guy is doing, you know, unless I want to try and catch some fish and I see they're being successful. I may want to learn from them. So, you know, get out there and pay attention to what's going on, what you're doing, and you'll be amazed at how quickly you learn. And don't be surprised that you soon feel like you know a bit more about what's going on than, you know, somebody, you know, you see an older guy sitting there and he's got his old tackle box out and he's got two or three lines in the water with some worms on them. And, you know, they're doing kind of what they've always done by rote. But if you're actually paying attention, you might know more than that person on really what's actually happening and going on, regardless of the fish count. You know, don't get overconfident that, you know, you think you've got nothing to learn, but you'll be amazed at how much stuff you learn if you just kind of pay attention to what's going on. When your rod bends and you feel the drag engage and you're fighting a fish, you know, pay attention to those kinds of things. And, you know, again, you'll be amazed at how much easier it is in the future to have learned from that, so you don't lose as many fish. You can hook the set, you can set the hook easier. You can change to the right colors or right types or right sizes of lures or bait based on the conditions that are out there. And you just kind of keep growing from there. And it's never ending, which again is one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast, so I can share the stuff I've learned, but also get some feedback and learn some new things, try some new techniques. Now, that's what it's all about. For me, there's no end goal in fishing. It's, you know, I want to catch, you know, big fish. I want to catch a lot of fish, but I just want to get out there and enjoy it and also kind of know that I'm learning when I'm doing it and always moving forward. You know, that's, you know, to me, that's kind of part of life, is always bettering yourself, always learning, always doing, you know, new things, trying new things, you know, and just improving your life in general. So everybody get out there, pay attention to what you're doing, get some tight lines, share some stories with me. You can send any questions, comments, and stories. You can message me on here, or you can email me at scooterfishtoes@gmail.com, scooterfishtoes@gmail.com. And, so yeah, take care, everybody, and looking forward to talking to you real soon. Thanks for listening.